Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
into an amazing song written by Jay Hatter, and the singer and writer of the music is Shout Even Shy. Great way to start any show. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are a radio group that hangs out at allpoetry.com, a huge, amazing place to write poetry, and it's free to join. Just check it out. If you're a member or you do join, you can click the group tabs and find us on the list, A Team of Voices. And if you knock, I'll meet you at the door. We use the chat room there to post the links to the poetry that you'll hear tonight. And you can click on and follow along and leave comments, or you can call in and hang out and comment live at 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And we'd love to hear from you. And tonight we have another new artist that we are using as prompts to inspire our poetry, coupled with a choice of 10 different parts of some fantastic poetry from Gerald E. Green. So I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of poetry stemmed from his words. And I have a recording that he sent to play at the end of the show as well. So on that note, I think I'd better get motivated and start opening some of these lines right after I announce my co-host, my big brother, Jay Hatter. Hey, Hatter.
Hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey.
Great song.
Hey, hey.
Great poem.
Yeah.
And I'm going to open up some of these lines here. We have, I believe, Stephen. I don't want to say that J-U-S-T word in front of it because that's not true. K might be tied up, so I say, hi, Stephen.
Hi,
is your
hello.
Lovely wife with you?
Oh, she's
tied up.
It's over.
He's tied
yonder.
Up. Well, his lips are sealed. But glad you're here, Stephen. And right behind Stephen is none other than Mr. Wayne Gent. Hello, Wayne.
Hey.
How you doing? Glad to be here.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Good to hear you. And we have an echo that just started because Sky is in the studio. If I can get it, it's not spinning. Come on. There it goes. Sky, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Glad you are here. And right between the Sky and the next phone call, it is Mr. David Prophet. Hey, Dave, welcome to the show.
Again.
Glad you're here.
Oh, I'm glad to be here, Deb.
Fantastic to hear, everyone. And I did get a heads up from Kay earlier. I was just poking at Stephen a little bit because he has to read two poems. So I am going to head over and looking here. Okay, there is Kay's. And did she? Of course she did. So, Stephen, will you please read the quote that Kay wrote to by Gerald Green and then read the poem for us?
Yes. Let's see. The quote that she chose was number 4. A poet sat before the live oak tree in hopes of feeling inspiration's flow, without concern or pressure, even plea, inside where poems incubate and grow. And, okay, I read this twice before the show, and I read them perfectly both, so I'm bound to spundle it. See, there I go. I'm already tripping over. Here we go. This is called Quilted Wool Wrinkled, Levered, and Crisp Buttons of Seasonal Knitting by Kay. She stifled back a yawn, bridging hands to existence of time upon arching beams of principle feathering prolixity. If she doesn't have the wiles and understanding, she will make them where the tarry, humbled in hunger. The sleep upon eyes not be in vain. Sound of water ices the lineage of breaking free in bands of burnt valves, water soluble in days of strawberries upon cranberries, waverings, in apples of first pluckings. Russets of golden bronze wafts the awakening of dawn, sourwood and black tupelo, the captivation flowered crimson's eavesdropping becomes the seminar of etiquette and silence. Sugar mapled in orange-red stripes, the veins almost colorless, decomposition restocks the soil and weeps of countrysides, and knowing this, the bravery of unfolding in a canvas of hues, holly berries and sprigs of emerald green, as cobalt blue skies are stark in black and white linings that linen land for a spell and tidings. End poem. A little rhyme there at the end.
Fantastic read, Stephen. This poem is like this mega treat for the senses because Kay wrote us through lines with beautiful scenes with inhale-worthy scents. Even the sounds like the breaking free of bands of burnt valves. I mean, just the little things that paint the picture. Sourwood and black tupelo, a captivation, and flowered crimson eavesdropping. that's pretty clever there. I like that blend, flower crimsons, eavesdropping, and sugar mapled in orange-red stripes, the vein almost colorless. I mean, how about those descriptions? It's just like sometimes I can't even imagine what triggers these metaphoric descriptions, but they're always so filled with, I said it already, but senses ticklers, like the bravery of folding a canvas of hues, holly berries, and sprigs of emerald green. So you get these beautiful, vibrant colors that are mixed in, and you can almost smell like the holly berry trees, it's a beautiful piece. And it goes excellently with the quote by Gerald Green. And I thank you. And you can thank her for us, Stephen. And Hatter, what do you think?
Stark. What's the hour's meanest? No. Once again, very good. It's a solid one. You got to read again. I do like, well, first, tell me that you guys walk around the house talking like this, right? Okay, it is. She talks, hey, that was supper.
And all the talks time.
To me.
Well, of course she does.
Of course. She does it so well, is my meaning, the way she picks it up. I mean, I'm blown away every time she writes. You don't know there's a word bank if she's using them. She is, right?
It wasn't required for this one, but I mean, she packed it already on her own with color and stuff. I don't know. Yeah, sometimes it's an option.
Okay. Very good. You read it really, really, really well too. Sugar maples and orange red stripes. The veins almost colorless.
It struck me too, and it's on quite a few lists, and it's, I love saying this, it only has 88 likes, so I think everybody was tickled by the little treat for the senses there.
One for each key.
Wayne, what do you think?
I think it's a nice little poem. Stephen, you did a great job reading it. I think the poem's a little fruity. It's got strawberries, cranberries, apples, and holly berries to go with all the colors, like orange, crimson, black, white, cobalt, emerald green, and a good poem. I like the line, you sleep upon the eyes, not be in vain. That's a great line, and she did a good job painting the sky and the countryside, and it's a good job all the way around. I like it.
Great comment, Wayne. Oh, and Hatter, a side note, too. The thing is, with the word banks now, that the poets have become such colorful writers that I don't even notice anymore because everybody's using crayons in their work, which is a really exciting thing. I think that's why I wasn't sure if there was or wasn't one required, because there's color everywhere
the
now. Skye, what do you think?
Yeah. I thought it was an excellent piece. And it's so funny, too, because I just started drawing. I'm sorry, I had someone over my house that started talking when I did. I just started, you know, writing or drawing rather with water soluble graphite. So, and she had written this and I'm just triggering out how to do this now. But yeah, I thought it was a great piece and there were so many colors and descriptions. I really loved the images of God with water ices and the means breaking free of bonds and bells. That whole section, actually, is the water-soluble section. And the days of strawberries upon cranberries. It makes me think of, you know, holiday time with bringing in taste images. And she doesn't exactly put it out there that way, but, you know, she uses all those wonderful ideas. Really well done.
Awesome comment. And David?
This one almost made me hungry, and it descriptions that she was using, like, sugar mapled in orange red stripes, the veins almost colorless. that kind of tickled my palate a little bit. Decomposition restocks the soil and weeps of countrysides, and knowing that bravery of folding in a canvas of hues, holly berries and sprigs of emerald green. This is a lesson in colors and how to throw them around in a poem. I thought it was really, really an interesting poem. It was a pleasure to listen to Stephen read it too. So, it was a good poem. I really liked it. I thought it was very well written. So that's what I say.
Fantastic. Awesome comments, everyone. Thank you. And great poem, Kay. Thank you for that. Awesome read, Stephen. And before you read your own, let me let Liquid Damage in the room. Hello, Linda. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hi, Deb. Yeah, glad I could make it.
Me too. Hey, did you see that note I put in your inbox?
No.
Well, it just so happens that, take a peek when you get a chance, although they tend to update every couple of hours, but on the trending, two spots just happened to be taken up by the Liquid Damage Lounge. Have you ever heard of it? Just saying.
No.
So congratulations
what?
On trending.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
Well, I'll tell you more about it and point you to the way after the show, but congratulations.
Okay.
Stephen, before you read, I also want to let AP in, who is in an airport, so hold on just a second. Hello, AP.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi, AP.
Hello.
Stephen, yours is there, and AP, can you put yours directly on the board, please? Stephen, please read for us.
I chose quote number 2, crisp air seeps through weathered lumber, finding respite near the kitchen stove where sweated grandmother stands. And the picture, the painting that I chose, putting those together, it made me think of the end of Charlie Brown's Thanksgiving Over the River and Through the Woods, which I found out over the weekend at Sky Show is actually a poem, so I did put a link to that poem as well in the author's notes. I never knew that was a poem. I just thought it was a song. So, I brought all it together, and I call this The Covered Bridge to Grandma's House. As wheels creak, the oak floorboard supported 10x10. Snowflakes pelt the shingled roof and feathered cardinal hen. Brook shimmies beneath the ice and past the frosty banks. Whinnies puff from thoroughbred nose, and hooves do echo lank. And pump.
Well, I see you're showing off with your 4-line tens again, and coincidentally, they were supported 10x10. How about that? Really cool. I like the images that you managed to slam into those 4 lines, and the second line, snowflakes pelt the shingled roof and feathered cardinal hen. You could almost hear that tap noise of it. So, like, you got the scenery, you got some sights and sounds for us. I think that you did a great job, and I like the echo of the hooves. So very clever brevity, and congrats on 15 4-line tens, because I'm telling you, I'm not kidding you, I keep trying, but not happening yet. Let me get you some comments. Patter.
Yeah. How do you like writing brevity, Stephen?
I have been enjoying it, actually.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of enlightening, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is very good. Now, Sky, you live in Covered Bridge country, don't you? I got that right. Sky?
I'm sorry?
Anyway, I think she does. She's muted and waiting for her turn, I think, because somebody's sleeping.
Okay.
It could just be that.
Okay. Yeah, we covered bridges. I started drawing barns and bridges and covered bridges. So, yeah, I got a place in my heart for those things. Yeah, brevity's tight, man. Brooks Shimmy's beneath. Where's the Winnie's puff through the nose, thoroughbred nose? Thoroughbred nose. I can hear it. I can see it. Something about that, on the snow with horses.
Yeah.
Pretty scene, huh?
Yeah, very, very much.
Cool comment. Wayne, what do you think?
It sounded good, but I never get to see the poem. It's not just not on the board. I never get to see it, so it's hard to comment on something when you just hit read, because, you know, my brain don't work that fast. So I don't have a lot to say, but it sounded good and read good, and good job on your team, Stephen.
You know why? Because there's a lot of activity. It's been up there for about 10 minutes. I'm sorry that I'll put it back so that you can click on it, but if you scroll back
a little bit,
right
after Kate.
Yeah, yeah. No, I put it back on the chat wall for you so that you can, because I know you like to.
I got it.
David, what do you think?
Oh, I thought this was really pretty nifty. I'm going to have to work on doing a little bit of brevity myself here. good rhyme, good meter to it. It's interesting. It says a lot in four lines. And you did good, Stephen. I liked it.
Awesome comment. And Sky?
Yes, I'm gonna guess Hatter said something about New Hampshire and covered bridges. I didn't quite catch him, but we do have a lot of covered bridges here, pretty much in the woods. And I love this. And yeah, the grandfather's house, over the river and through the woods by Lydia Child, I think you did that song justice. I think the song is quite common, and I think I only know it's a poem because here in New Hampshire we just like to celebrate local poets, local-ish. But I think you did such a great job. The snowflakes pelt, I really liked that, and the shingled roof feathered in cardinal hen. I think with the brevity, you really have to be choosy about words and kind of leave off, I mean, go big or go home, you know, leave off kind of softer words and go very bold, and I think you've done here, especially with the brook shimmies. I really, really like that because I like personification, and I think it's very creative. Really well done.
Do they ride around in sleighs? Do they?
We have a lot of horses. I don't see people out in sleighs. No, I don't think that happens. We do have sleigh rides in December, okay, if there's enough snow. We've been getting usually hit, like January now, but we do, but it's not like in the street. Yeah. We're not that
down.
But there are horses in the street. Exactly. A lot of dirt roads.
Every October here, Hatter, we do have a covered bridge festival because we have quite a few around us, too.
Do they decorate them or visit them?
Visit them. It's a tour of all of them.
Awesome. Cool.
Awesome. And Linda, please.
Yeah, Stephen, this is like a real magical piece. And the thing I really like about it is you brought out the little carriage and horse in the back, which is almost lost in the picture, and you brought it out to the front, and that was cool. But I have a passion for covered bridges, or bridges, you know, overall. But the picture is beautiful, and you, your writing was like brought this picture to life, and I think you did a really good job on it, so thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Linda.
Awesome comments, everyone. And I am going to have AP comment right before he reads. But, Stephen, do you want to tell us what's happening before AP comments?
What is happening? Let's see. Our next show is the Poetic Inklings, and it's on Thanksgiving Eve. And we're featuring a short story about Thanksgiving called Two Thanksgiving Day Gentlemen. There's quotes from that short story to write to, as well as you can write to the story itself. Plus, we're just going to do like an open-type Thanksgiving poetry. Just bring a fun poem about Thanksgiving. And of course, it won't be complete without playing the Bucky Habanero Cold Turkey song. So come on and enjoy that Thanksgiving Eve over there. It's 7:30 p.m. Eastern. No, wait, sorry, 10 p.m. Eastern. That's right, because I got to work late. Forget, because everybody's going to have
to. You know what Friday is?
Friday is the writing challenge that Kay did for autumn. Basically, poems about autumn that she had a writing challenge for. Anybody who gave permission for their piece to be read, we will read that on Friday, and that will be at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And that's what I got. Picard won't be till January, Hunter.
What about Man Cave? Is it a Man Cave?
It is a Man Cave.
Friday?
It is. Friday night, yeah, at 11.
Okay,
yeah.
So 11?
We don't
overlap a little bit?
It all works out, no matter what it is, every now and then we do. Sounds like some great shows, and I'm going to let AP make his comment, because, like, hold off for a second, Hatter, because AP's got to catch an airplane.
Sure.
So, AP, can you comment and then read for us?
Yeah, sure. Look, I really like the use of the descriptive words that have sounds. I like creak and pelt and shimmies and whinnies, and echo. They're all really strong words and just build a really great picture with few words, and that's what you have to do in a brevity. So it just comes together really nicely.
Thank you, Whippy.
Great comment. Awesome poems. Thank you both. And AP, would you start with the quote that you chose to write to, please?
Yes, I will. It's quote number 9 off the list by Gerald, which is, "A silent battle of night and day raged before my eyes, each seeking dominance. And then day's blood slowly turned the sky to pale pink." And this is called Prize Fight, and it goes a little bit like this. "Rank odour distantly wavers of blood, two well-sharpened knives left home. Prize fighters silently wrestle in mud, their fragrance petrichor from bone. As rain feathered upon the mast, day rages golden yellow on beach. But the remnants will soon be cast as darkness here seems to leech. Tolls ink of squid and pink of shells strewn as fresh detritus onto clouds. Passing sands, incoming water repels. Aquatones are captured in shrouds. Storms will obscure galaxies pass and leave only thunder in their stead. The lightning intercedes as Mars peerless as strands of claret red. Hues deepen briefly into scarlet, ruby sparkles as slippers in odds, then dried plasma tips into jet, once black, no wise, just because." End poem.
Gorgeous poem. It's such a compliment to the original quote, because it sets the tone to be filled with color, and then you just sat down and put some amazing color all the way through here, and I really like at the end when you said hues deepen briefly into scarlet, ruby sparkles as slippers in Oz. I just love that little nod to Oz in that part there, and the thought of the scarlet ruby sparkles, I really don't think I've heard that metaphor before, and it's actually kind of brilliant. So all the way through, excellent images, beautiful piece. And before I get another comment for you, let me say hi to Sweet Pea. Hey, Sweet. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Glad you're here, darling. And not to mention that the rhyme is just an amazing piece. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, okay. God, AP, you know, Toll's ink of squid and pink of shells. Great descriptions. I was trying to follow it. I thought I had it right. But then I had, at the end, I don't think I do. Rank odor, distant wavers of blood, two well-sharpened knives left home. And I'm looking at the picture. Pelicans?
There are pelicans, but no, it's just more about night and day to the quote pattern. So I just sort of basically said sort of night and day, I've got sort of knives and they're wrestling around and, you know, end up, you know, not winning, basically.
I guess if I read the author's notes, I would have got that. Sorry. I see that one. Thanks.
No, it's okay.
Cool comment. And Stephen, what do you think?
Yeah, I like this a lot. I personally think that your words are very beautiful and descriptive, AP. And I also did like the hat tip to Oz as well. I believe that there's actually a visible border between night and day if you're watching with no light pollution. I think I've seen it, or I might be crazy. But either way, this piece made me think of that. It's an excellent write.
Thanks, Dan.
Magic hours.
Awesome comment. Thank you so much, Stephen. And say hello to Kay for us, please. Tell her we missed her. And let me get some more comments for AP. Wayne, can you comment, please?
Yes, I can. I think it's very good descriptions of a challenging day and night. The seas and its critters have quite the smell in the poem, and I think this whole poem is painted well. Great storyline. You got rubies as bright as Dorothy's shoes. That's a great metaphor. You did a good job on this, AP. Appreciate it.
No, thanks, Wayne. Thank you.
Awesome comment, Wayne. Thank you. And David?
Well, I really appreciated this because it talks about or spells out the transition between night and day, and it's never happens very fast, even in the middle of the winters, you know, when it starts getting dark at 4 o'clock and five and stuff like that. It's still a transitional period there. And I like the way the words and the colors that you use to describe that, AP. I thought it was a really well-written poem, and it's beautiful besides. Nice job.
Thank you. Thanks, Seth. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Sweet?
First off, I think it's stunning. And oddly, we wrote to the same prompt. But there's such imagery, brilliance in it, and just you kind of fall lost in your metaphors. And once again, my dear AP, you have me living in a world between realism and poetry. And it's one of the things I love about you.
Thank you, Sweet.
And Linda, please.
Yeah, very nice, AP. I loved your use of colors in this, very subtle but yet bold. And it was very cool imagery that brought out the beauty of your words. I think this is a very delightful piece. The verses are succinct and formed well. But I think you did a fantastic job writing this. The descriptions in this are out of this world good. So thank you for sharing it, AP.
No, thank you. That's very nice of you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great comment. And Sky, before you read, will you comment for AP, please?
Yes, that is okay. I mean, there was, I mean, okay. The whole thing of when the shells fight it onto the clouds. And I like that.
when I hear that, I think, you know, the forest, you know, all those dead leaves and all those beautiful things in the forest. I think the forest looks for wonderful. And then when you think about the clouds, things like this whole moon, but I don't know, I thought it was a really cool way to use that to kind of turn those tables so you have amongst the clouds, which I thought was really creative, actually. And of course, you do have to use beautiful ways to describe, you know, two different worlds kind of together. And who would not love the Oz Breath? Really well done.
Thank you, Sky. Thank you. And Deb, before they do another announcement here, which happened in the middle of my poem, I knew it would, always was going to, I will disappear to get to Brisbane, but I will catch you again in a couple of days.
All right. Safe trip.
See you.
Terrific. Thanks again, guys. Thank you.
Okay. Sky, I don't know if it was just me, but towards the end of your comment, it was breaking up some. So I just don't want to not – I mean, it's one thing to not hear the entire comment because you'll write one later, but I don't want to miss your poem. So say something. Hi, Sky.
Well, can you hear me now?
Yes, seems to be Hello? Okay. All right, your poem is on the board, so show us what you got.
Okay, this is called Bowl of Tomato Basil Bits in a Molten Burrow Sky. Amid a molten burrow, meadow sky, October's bow raised in rye, and old New Hampshire's evening stress. Smoke pitched leaves gather near, a cloud cerie embroidered dust, as sun brambles heaven's ware and drapes a sandstone husk. End poem.
I love that title, A Bowl of Tomato Basil Bisque. It's like all of a sudden it seems like everybody's making everybody hungry in their poetry, and you start right off from the tomato soup in the title there. October's bough raised and rye in old New Hampshire's evening tryst. I think there's something so endearing about that couplet. And I really, really like the closing stanza, I can't talk now, and drapes a sandstone husk. The color, the image or the thought of that draping sandstone, I just thought that the couplets are beautiful. But again, I love that title. Great brevity. Thank you for sharing. Let me get you some comments.
I went to go write your poem and I was eating Sky Cutter.
It might have dribbled a little into the poem, but I really liked it. Hey, I'd rather a poem dribbled into your soup than a fly. Ha ha ha. Couldn't resist. Cutter, what you think?
Okay, sky. A molten burrow. Sky.
Well, Molten Burrow is a town here. It's a town here in New Hampshire.
Oh,
a touristy town. Yeah.
Okay, I guess that passes. That passes. Molten Burrow. Cool. Is that a Kincaid?
I believe that is.
Yeah, so it looks like the light. Some brambles, heavens were. Everybody's doing some brevity nowadays, huh? Bowl of tomato biscuit. Now, you did another one with soup. Is this the same one? No.
Mm.
I don't think you
did. I don't know. I like soup. I think this is the only one, but, I mean, I could be wrong.
Guess it depends on what she was doing when she wrote the last one. Cool comment.
Because that quick,
let
that quick,
me get
so
a comment
you
from.
Said that last time.
Oh.
Sorry.
What?
Go ahead.
Let me get a comment from Wayne, please.
Yes, this brevity is kind of tasty, and she said so much in so little words that it's kind of amazing because she described so many things with just four couplets, and the couplet I like the best is October brow raised in Y, and old New Hampshire evening tryst. That's a great, great line, and great job with all the way through. It's going to be such a short brevity. It's a good descriptive poem. Good job, Sky. I miss you.
Thank
Thank you, Wayne. I miss you too.
Awesome comment, Wayne. And David, please.
Oh boy, this I'm glad that you defined what Molten Boro was. It's I have to admit it did sound like a city to me, or a small burg or something. But anyway, I like this. Yeah, and your poem didn't make me too hungry too, by the way, Sky. is a bowl of tomato basil bisque, I guess. October's bough raised in rye in old New Hampshire's evening tryst. It's cool. This has got some really neat lines in it. I like it a lot. I thought you described the picture perfectly. As sun brambles evens heaven's where, and drapes a sandstone husk. I like that, those last two words, sandstone husk. Very descriptive. Nice job, Sky. This was really, really pretty.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference
between
a bisque and a soup? Or is there any difference?
I think there's milk in it.
Oh,
I think bisque is a cream base and with the tomato.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I could be wrong.
No,
sounds
you're
right.
And
Linda, will you comment, please?
Yeah, very cool, Sky. Your words are a precious extension of this picture. This was very comfortable, and you have woven a tapestry of beautiful and warm imagery. I really like this. It was short and very easy to read, and you have made a beautiful piece of art in so few words. I really loved it. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And I think I let everyone but my sweet comment. So, sweet, can you comment for Sky before you read?
Unmuted.
My sweet?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. I'm on mute. Yes. So, Sky, I want to tell you that this invoked more than just imagery for me. It's a feeling that only you, Sky, could sing tomato soup and bring on this beautiful poetry that invokes feeling. Because when I think of tomato soup, I think of home, and I think of warmth, and I think of comfort, and I think of this inviting place to go where, you know, you're in mom's kitchen and everything is where it belongs. So you take this place that's there, and that's all I want to be, is that place is warm and comforting and a place where you want to be, because that's tomato soup. And so your imagery is beautiful and all that, but you brought that feeling of comfort to that place. And I thought it was kind of brilliant, you know, while you're eating your tomato soup, because you transferred that warmth into that poem. So, bravo.
Thank you, Sweet.
You're
awesome
welcome.
Comment. And, Sweet, before you read, will you please read the quote from Gerald Green that you're reading too?
I will definitely do that. I am reading Gerald Green's quote, "A silent battle of night and day raged before my eyes, seeking dominance, and then day's blood slowly turned the sky to pale pink." And this is the Great Lake Erie Burst. Begging for attention, the sky swallowed its blue and turned gray, spitting raindrops with razor's edge, cracking the illusion of a smooth glass water mirage. And in a voice of rolling thunder, a temper tantrum lightning show exploded over the Great Lake. The wind joined in tandem, twisting in spiral rage. It bobbed and weaved across the dark, shadowed waves, an angry lake rising and falling, dodging the destruction, vengeful ghosts long passed away. The night blackened shades of the raven's wings. Danger hissed in the songs of seagulls' screeching call. Sailors barked orders from stern to bow, listening to the oak bend and creak to the gravitational pull of Newton's laws. Souls wandered beyond yesterday's borders and fell into waters. Hands scraped and knees bruised from the fall, gurgling gray waters as they drowned, dreaming as they swam into the path of a pink dawn. Midnight crows cawed a cautionary tale of skeleton deaths. When the gimbal cracked and the king spoke in lies, and the bulwark split and the ship sank into the greatest lake waiting to be found. And Paul.
Well, sweet. Well, for starters, I really, really like how you jumped into the Lake Erie aspect. Hey, how you jumped into Lake Erie. That's not what I meant, but okay. I like that because of the area that he's from and you were once as well, that you sort of like brought in a local story.
Well, Charles Green and I used to live in the same town.
That's what I thought. I remember you telling me about that one time. So it was cool that you did that little nod to the fact that your hometown kindred spirits. I think that's the word I'm looking for. But your poem, I could really go anywhere, but I think I'm going to go to the middle-ish. The night blackened to shades of a raven's wings. Danger hissed in the songs of seagull's screeching call. Sailors barked orders from stern to bow, listening to oak bend and creak to the gravitational pull of Newton's laws. I just think that, like, you could almost hear that creaky noise, and, you know, sometimes it had in rough seas like that, it had to be in the back of the crew, the captain, whatever's mind, that one of those could be a snap that you know, totally the ship. So, like, the thoughts there is scary. And then towards the end, souls wandered beyond yesterday's borders and fell into waters, hands scraped and knees bruised from the fall, gurgling gray waters as they drowned, dreaming as they swam into the path of pink dawn. It's just like all the vivid details really, really brought the quote and the art to life. It was like, if someone read that story on their own, they could envision what we're seeing there in that art. So bravo, my dear. Fantastic share and a great tribute to the original quote as well. Love it. Hatter, what do you think?
Thank you.
Yeah, she started out just sort of calm. The sea always is intense when people write about it. But she didn't disappoint me. As you get down to after Newton's loss, the souls wandered beyond yesterday's borders and fell into waters. There's nothing more sorrowful or more helpless than to drown within shore, fight of the shore. And I think most wrecks were that way. We didn't have buoys marking high, you know, shallow rocks formations. We didn't have shipwrecks that were just barely underwater. So, yeah, I think most all wrecks were within shore, the sight of shore. And that must have been terrifying. You know, when you're going down and you could see the trees. That's what
yep.
I got out of it.
Yeah.
Great comment, Hatter. And can I get me see who's? Can I get a comment from Linda, please?
Yeah, you know, the imagery in this is awesome, beautiful. It tells a story. And this was a wonderful tall tale, like an old ship captain pirate would tell in the pub over pints of ale with his cronies, you know, saying, "Arr, we'll listen to this one." And it was, no pun.
Cool comment. And before I get the next one, let's say hello to Xylophonic Blues. Hey, Hal, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's a little bit hectic. As soon as I finish Sweet's comments, I'll get you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Did I get cut off? Because I'm having problems with my phone again. Because I wasn't commenting.
I can hear you now. It seems like it's okay. Okay, I think, did everybody get to comment on Sweet? David,
I didn't.
No, I didn't.
Okay, David, comment on Sweet, please.
Yes, as you were reading this, it reminded me of Gordon Lightfoot's song, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. It happened on one of the Great Lakes. I'm not sure which one now, but
Superior,
I think it was, but I'm not sure. Anyway, I really like this. I love the nautical terminology that you used in this, and you wrote it very, very captivating and descriptive, and I love you writing about nautical stories and stuff. It's fun. And I thought you did a really fine job on this.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Wayne?
Yes. Between this beer and that poem, I got about half seasick. This is a great adventure with characters. The battle of the sea battle out there, fighting the sea was a great battle. You looked just like a fisherman from the lake was right. I like the line, "Stones wandered beyond yesterday's borders and fell into the waters." That's great. Now, this is a great, great poem, Sweet. I love it.
Thank you, Wayne, very much.
Awesome comment, everyone. Now, let me get a hold of the show for a minute because, I had so many people that were in need of hit and runs, which one of them is Hal, and everybody told me ahead of time, so I'm doing the best I can to get everybody on and in and out as fast as I can. Sweet, before you go, can you tell us what's up for tomorrow?
Tomorrow is Dark Black Friday. Black Friday is obviously Friday and Thanksgiving, and so tomorrow is just Let's Go Dark. Anything dark is good, so Black Friday celebration is my show's Let's Go a Little Dark for Black Friday week. And that's whatever it is you want to bring.
I like dark.
Awesome. Sounds like fun. I shall see you there, my dear.
Hey, Sweet.
Yes. Yes, Linda. Linda's phone's cutting out on her.
Sounds like we lost her.
Yeah.
How dark do you want that, Sweet?
As dark as you want to bring me.
As dark as you want to bring me. It'll be dark.
Are you there?
Turn the lights on.
Yes, Linda.
Oh, I just wanted to tell you, Sweet, you got to be there because I wrote
Okay, hey, Linda, just send me a message. You keep cutting out.
Oh. Is that Blog Talk? Is that phones?
I'm sorry. The other phone died. I had to grab this little one.
Okay.
Did anybody hear anything I said?
It's been pretty confusing, though. Pretty
confusing. Yeah. Deb, you cut out. Linda's cutting out. All I know is Hal has to read.
Okay. Did you get to say what you did say what's up tomorrow? Okay.
I got my. Okay.
I am trying. Didn't I put on the board? Okay, let me see. Let me see. Take a deep breath and I hope Linda dials back. I feel bad when this many people all at the same time have to such a time crunch. I want you to call anyway, and we will work it out. But I don't want anybody to be disappointed. I was going to put Linda's on right after Hal, just in case, because she was having those phone issues. But there you go, Hal. Please.
Okay. My poem is actually called Winter Retreat. And the quote I used was, "Eager feet propel me down a trail, claiming the woods as mine for a moment, itching to move into its magical depths." The poem begins, "Silent in the house, Halloween shadow, watching every cloud over snow wreaths deep, dreading each breeze, pattern sways, weaving from skin to the light. Whirls, bewildering drift, down climbing up through the syllable. Coats, esoteric flakes, take the mantle. Tresses upon her waterfall. Groaning sun becomes a spark. Trees hung thin, hidden in her dark to dark. Over crystals under glass, eyes exacting, tessellated, towel burns, wakened wick, float away, colored night's candlelight, a small word magnifies, then slips back. Blizzards wrestling in dark comedy, corrugated rungs in a crowded image, hidden routes of rose-colored symmetry. I felt two hands in the evening air that won't stop. Palms trying for perfection of balance. Laughter trapped as mercury plummets. Iris picks up a pen inked in blue daiquiri. This quilt of resilience has its own friction, cordially pulling me back. Leaves and dough, chlorophyll coursing through their center. Time's crucible opened by hundreds of small hopes. Push off, taking on gravity, pumping and rising until the world stills. To set it down again, like a migrating duck blasted with fur earlaps. Blinking windows, remembering this first ever solstice with you in the born world. Into the dozens of lowering suns, circling eternity glimpses. End of poem.
Great read, Hal. Wow. I think that you have some gorgeous images in here, like the paprika fire casts in a Halloween shadow. I love that image right there. And coats esoteric fleets take the mantle, tresses upon her waterfall. I like that you made it her, like the waterfall was a woman. Blizzards wrestling in dark comedy, corrugated rungs in crowded image, and the rose-colored symmetry. Love that metaphor. I use it too. Sometimes I say blush, but it's just a great, great metaphor. Leaves and dough, chlorophyll coursing through their center. Time's crucible opened by hundreds of small hopes. That line is absolutely brilliant. Time's crucible opened by hundreds of small hopes. I love that part. And you're closing in the dozens of lowering suns, circling eternity glimpses. Beautiful, beautiful. And I think that it's another great tribute to the quote that we're writing to tonight. Fantastic share. I'm so glad you were able to call and read. I don't know how long you can stay, so let me get you some comments. My sweet, are you still here? Can you comment for Hal?
Yes, I am still here. First off, stunning imagery. I have to tell you, I am very, very jealous of the line and I don't know where you got it, but Blizzards Wrestling in Dark Comedy. I love that because blizzards are like so white with snow, but the skies are always so dark and you're always wrapped up in your house and you got this, it's such a perfect imagery. I am just awed by it. Blizzards Wrestling in Dark Comedy. That's just brilliant. Just absolutely brilliant. A Rose-Colored Symphony or Cemetery. I felt two hands in the evening air that won't stop. You always have such brilliant imagery, and I love to listen to you read. Laughter trapped as mercury plummets. Iris picks up a pen, ink and blue, glasses on. But I just love it. Oh, thank you. But I got to say, that's got to be one of my favorite lines I've ever read. And you're brilliant, as always. And thank you for reading. And thank you for sharing. You just brought it.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Great comment, sweet. And Hatter.
Yeah, unmuted. Yeah, a couple lines here. The Don Quining. That's the first I've heard it described that way. I think all of us have their own what we settled upon: describing the dawn, the moon rising, the chasing the sun. Nobody looks to the dark disappearing. The other great line: over crystal, under glass. I thought that was a great line to build on. Yeah. I think Sweet hit on the Blizzards Wrestling and Dark Comedy. That was very good.
Good comment. And David, comment, please.
Yeah, I like the last, let's see, one, two, three lines in the one, two, third stanza. Groaning sun becomes a spark, trees hung thin, hidden in the dark to dark. I really like that. Groaning sun becomes a spark. It's basically what happens when it goes down. This was a treat for the eyes and the ears, mostly to the ears. But anyway, this was really, really an interesting poem, the way it was written, and descriptions that were used are beautiful. I thought it was a really cool poem.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for being there tonight.
Great comment, David. And Wayne?
Yes, this poem was kind of caught me off guard. You started reading as I was going along. You took me somewhere. And I didn't know where I was. I don't know where I went, but I went somewhere in Neverland. And I kind of come to about the end of it and started listening again. And I almost did it again. It's a great poem. It's a very, very, very good poem. It takes you places you might not want to go and places you do want to go. Great, great poem.
Thank you. I really do have to go now because I'm like 5 minutes over. So thank you for having me,
Deborah and everyone
Thanks
else.
Thanks for calling on your plate. Appreciate it.
Bye, Blues.
Bye.
And Linda, will you go ahead and make your comment for Hal and then read your poem for us?
Sure. I thought this had really lovely imagery in it. I didn't get to hear the beginning, so I tried to scan it real quickly, so I kind of missed part of it. But it had a really wonderful descriptive piece of art. And I call this art because visually he wrote it to be visual. And the little indentations and stuff make it an example of art. And it had some really great lines in it. You guys pretty much covered all the ones that I would say, but I think this is a beautiful piece, so thanks for sharing it.
Awesome comment, and thanks again for calling in, Hal. Great comment, everyone. And Linda, yours is on the board if you want to dazzle us now. It's your turn.
Okay. Now, I used the color bank quite a bit in this, so I don't know if it added to it or took it away, but I as well used the number 9 prompt, a silent battle of night and day raged before my eyes, each seeking dominance, and then day's blood slowly turned the sky to pale pink, and I saw the boat and just went, wow, what a great picture. This is called Now the Storm Has Fallen. Coal and peach and smoky blue, the sky or ocean gleams. The faintest yellows paint the sky as the sunshine tries to beam. Off away a storm has ruled and beaten hard the sea. I'm breathless at the ocean gales that blow forth and free. Waves beat foam with frothy white atop of aqua green. Against the black and weathered boards, once mahogany they've been. The stormy sky was cobalt, ash and copper too, ebony and purple, white light and midnight blue. The stormy sea was amethyst and onyx, aquamarine and plum, violet slate and topaz and a tad titanium. The sky is a kaleidoscope that mixed the colors true. The ever-changing vision casts the ever-changing view. Now the storm has fallen and colors have been changed. They each have faded into night as the storm begins to fade. There's nothing that's more lovely than after a storm upon the sea. The colors and the scents are as beautiful as can be. The flamingos and gunmetals swirl and mix their hues over palest tangerines that cover crispy blues. Now the sea is indigo mixed with smoke and teal. Seaweed, moss, and periwinkle, these colors make me feel. God has awakened me to glory and blessed me with his love. These scents and all these colors are a gift from up above. All that I can say to him is thank you for this, Lord. Without you here, there would be just darkness in this world. In peace.
Wow. What an ending. I absolutely loved it, the feel of the ending there. And let me see, I could really pick anyone. Waves beat foam with frothy of white atop of aqua green against the black of weathered boards, once mahogany they'd been. The stormy sky was cobalt, ash and copper too, ebony and purple, white light and midnight blue. The images are great here, and you've always been so spot on with your rhyme and flow, and it's no exception here, my goodness. Now the sea is indigo mixed with smoke and teal, seaweed, moss, and periwinkle. These colors make me feel. The thing about having such amazing flow like that is it makes your work so easy to read. It flows down the page, and before you know it, you've read all the way through it, and it's just like you get pulled in by the flow and the beauty of the lines. I think that you captivated the art, the quote that you wrote to, and the visuals are really, really off the hook, stunning, beautiful read, Linda. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And I use 33 colors.
Yeah, I was going to say, and they don't feel forced. You just totally lit up the art and brought in the colors. And it's like, it's just absolutely gorgeous. Wayne's really good at that, too, using the gazillion of the word bank words. But when he's done, it didn't feel like he forced not one single
right.
one. Well, that's
yeah.
the same thing here with these colors. So brilliant work. Heather, what did you think?
Yeah, you can't tell there's a word back here. It's so well, I won't say hidden, but blended into it. And you know, Linda, Lee is not Deborah's real middle name. It's Periwinkle. cool. Yeah, this was
true.
I could see every page. I could see every page flipping through the book that this should narrate. That's what I wrote in the comments. Very good. You amaze me.
Thank you, Heather.
Awesome comment. Am I sweet?
Oh, one other thing, if I may. Let me find it first. In what universe does changed and fade rhyme? This one, you made it work. I couldn't believe it. It sounded right. Did you?
What's that?
And colors have been changed. You rhymed it with as the storm begins to fade.
Oh, yeah.
It fit. No tripping or nothing. Sounded right. I love it when words, you can do that to words.
Yeah.
It sounds right. Cool.
I guess it just, her flow was so spot on. Just the A sound pulled it through.
Yeah.
I didn't even pick up on it. So, yeah.
That's what singers
real
do.
Awesome.
That's what singers do, especially in rock bands.
Really, really brilliant. Sweet.
Thank you very much, Hatter.
Welcome. Do I get really...
I think that this is stunning, Linda. I mean, you captured beauty and peace that you can bring to your heart through the use of color and rhyme. I mean, you really caught that moment when you lift your face to the sun, and now you can feel its warmth forever. All you have to do is read this poem, and it radiates, and you can just feel it. And that's the beauty of your work.
Thank you, sweetheart.
You're very welcome.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, please.
Yes, I thought that she did a great job with painting this picture. And the picture has a storyline. It's a beautiful, great mood setting, wonderful rhyme, wonderful read. I like the rhythm and the flow. It's almost poetic-like. Great job.
Thanks, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And David?
This was really cool. I always like Linda's rhyming meter and the way she rhymes things. The color adjectives were very well employed and multiple. Wow. This was a beautiful poem. It really was. And the stormy sky was cobalt, ash, and copper too, ebony, purple, and white light, and midnight blue. That's really a cool stanza right there. It really combines four or five different colors all in one shot there. That's cool. Did good on this, Linda.
Thank you, David.
You're That was cute. Awesome. Okay. So I'm trying to move them on. So we got on deck, we got Titus, Wayne, David, me, Hatter. So if you guys would click on Titus's link, I will push play.
Got it.
Wait a minute.
Confines a poet's race.
Did you find it, man?
Yep, I see it.
I got it.
Confines a poet's race. A hard chair you would have thought cushion-bound poets, the comfort of making them heir to a throne, did not require a school-like first day. Lesser concerns finding their regrets. A soft-scented man who speaks last can gracefully sit higher, a position of power to absorb all they have delved in. At least I am best prepared as amber is to suggest rekindling in eager anticipation to find their interruptions used in unhurried yeast. Perhaps their self-importance serves a portion each as meager. I would sip a moment's silence. Some passive words are heard, giving them an olive branch. I do receive the laurel in return. A pleasant repertoire, a classical shape and form finds absurd. Random words make a poet blush, so refined do ears adjourn. Given reason, my consternations wallow, the pity it engraves. A lasting travesty over wasting words, the penetrative means finds a place of peace. One sits alone, given the time it saves to think of the palm with whom to contemplate many scenes. Romance ornates extravagance, this free disposition. My faith holds an emotion of waves, thought ebbing down the tide, divides such time as fools rush in, confines a poet's wraith. Conscious thought has bloomed at best one's peaceful side.
Wow. You know, sometimes I don't even know what to say. I get struck by his accent and some of his wording, and then I'm just like, whoa. Wow. Where do I think I want to go towards the second stanza there, anticipation, to find their interruptions use an unhurried yeast. Perhaps their self-importance serves a portion of each as meager. I would sip a moment's silence. Some passive words are heard, giving them an olive branch. I do receive the laurel in return. I like the way he used the word bank in here. He's another person that can do stellar work with or without the word bank. And I like, given reason, my consternations wallow, the pity it engraves, the lasting travesty over wasting words. And it's just like you could feel different things through here, at least I could, like there's some frustration in the thought of those wasted words. Back a little further, a little bit of attitude, but perhaps their self-importance serves a portion. So, like, it was a very cleverly intricate web of different emotions that were pulled out through each line, through each stanza. So I thought he did a fantastic job. And then for Gerald's quote, it was for number 8, I sat at the table of poets in a hard chair, like the first day in a new school waiting for someone to speak. And there's that anxiousness and you don't know whether to go with your attitude or to go with a soft approach or a hard-nosed approach. And I think all those things played out in this poem. Fantastic share and awesome recording as always, Tony. Thank you so much. My sweet.
I agree with you. I love the quote you wrote too. And I can just, you know, through Titus's poem, kind of envision this group just sitting there and, you know, trying to figure out who is going to speak. I would sip a moment's silence. Some passive words are heard, giving them an olive branch. I do receive a laurel in return. I like that. A pleasant repertoire. A classic shape and form finds an absurd. Random words make a poet blush. So refined do ears adjourn. I really love that stanza because it's like, you know, we're all brilliant, we're all good, but, you know, who's the poet laureate? What form are we going to use? You know, are we so refined that, you know, who's really listening? I just, you know, kind of find it, again, I think Titus has this little bit of underlying sarcasm in some of his poems, and I I think this is kind of one of them. It's got this underlying, you know, kind of making fun of, you know, poets and what they do and how they act and how they can be, you know, some of them can be a little uppity about themselves. And, you know, they're all sitting around and they're anxious and their words are very, like, do I say what I have? Am I good enough? Am I not good enough? Or am I so good no one should have to hear what I have to say because my form is the best or my words are the best? And so he's kind of playing both sides of the double advocate, and I'm kind of reading it both ways, and I really, really like it both ways. So I'm not sure which side of the card he's on, but I'm kind of reading it both ways. So very, very good, Titus. You've got me reading it as, you know, I'm great and that's the way it is. Nobody's going to hear me, or I'm cautious and I don't want to make a fool of myself in this room of poets. So we all interpret things. I'm not sure which way to interpret it again, but I like it both ways, sir.
Great comment, my sweet. Thank you so much. And before I get another, let's say hello to Crystal Hope, C Hope, Crystal H. Crystal!
Oh.
Hello.
Tried to cover all the names just in case because I didn't look to see which one it said today. I'm glad you're here.
It hasn't changed. It's not going to for a while.
Cool. Okay, that's good. I don't know. Did you hear Titus's poem, or should I wait for the next poem for you?
I did not get to hear it, no.
I didn't think so. Just wanted to check just in case. Linda, what did you think?
I thought this piece kind of shined like a topaz in the night. Titus always creates such masterful pieces of art, and this is no exception. Such a refined writing, and he's so intelligent, and it shines through in his artwork that his poetry is just so lovely, and I really appreciated this piece. It was quite inspiring. Thank you, Titus, for sharing.
Awesome comment, Hatter.
Okay, you said this was a word bank? He used a word bank?
Anything you see underlined, he pulled from the crayon box.
This is why I don't do word banks. You can't tell. These are so well done. How do you follow that? I mean, man, there are some great lines in this that were already mentioned. I'll mention them again. Giving them an olive branch, giving them an olive branch, I do receive the laurel in return. That's a deep line. What it actually means in the construct of the piece. The other, I'll just skip to the last. Conscious thought has bloomed at best one's peaceful side. You should read that whole thing. Holds an emotion of waves, thought ebbing down the tide. Conscious thought has bloomed at best, one's peaceful side. Great ending. Man, beautiful.
Awesome comment. And David?
Well, I had to kind of agree with what Sweet had to say about this poem. I detected a little sarcasm in it, and that's okay. I'd like to take it a little bit further instead of just putting poets under the microscope. I could put a lot of folks nowadays under the microscope. All you have to do is go on Facebook and see all the self-appointed experts that are out there giving advice, you know, and, you know, it never ends. And I kind of picked that up a little bit from this poem here. I could be way off. I don't know. But that's what the gist of it. Meant to me anyhow. Titus is a great, great poet, and his work is always really, really fun to listen to, and this very, very good poem.
Awesome comment, David. And Wayne, will you comment for Titus before you read us yours, please?
Yes, Titus is just an amazing poet. That's all around. Here's what I wrote to him. I said, "What I would give to sit in your chair for a moment. You have told the tale of your inner self, and you're absolutely honest. The thoughts you have in your silence must be poetic and heavenly. I wish I could go there." Great poem, Tony.
Awesome comment.
This poem is about somebody's daughter who's had dreams, and I hope you like it.
Does everybody see Wayne's? I'll push play.
Got it.
Okay, yep. Here we go.
This is called Daughter Dreams. Twisted, tangled trunks that turn the torso of the tree affect the tide of time. Shadowed souls sadly sunk when swamp let go and sunflowers saw them reflect through slime. Lavender lights lit the lane where lonely ladies lost lily love of life. Burnt bridges brought the bubbly bottle, only bringing babies, bills, and strife. Honeydew headlines hung on highway horns that hammered home in haze. Popsicle people pooped on parchment pavement, packing prayers in pewter ways. Fractured, folded frame, flamingo fell in forest and field, freezing family, future fame. Corduroy citizens carrying coated candles and crematory casket to cemetery came. Dark denim days dotted the dimples of the dead daughter's dehydrated diamond dream. Walnut willows wept when wrinkled whiskey-worn woman wrecked behind wheel, it seems. In.
Wow. Okay. Twisted, tangled trunks that turn the torso of the tree affect the tide of time. Wayne,
that's a Gerald quote I took.
Yeah, but I'm just looking at this and I'm like, wow, look at this. Look at the way you just read through that. Like it was because of the fact that you write alliteration so flawlessly that you just read that perfectly. That's where I wanted to start, the fact that it was like it just flowed, okay? I had a hard time repeating it, but you just flowed it. And then honeydew headline hung on highway horns that hammered home in haze. Popsicle people pooped on parchment pavement, packing prayers in pure ways. I'm like, you have this really pretty music in the background and this soft, soothing tone in your voice, and then you say, "Popsicle people pooped on parchment," and I was like very relieved that I was muted because I literally cracked up there. Dark denim days dotted the dimples of dead daughters, dehydrated diamond dreams. Holy cow. Wow. Between the tongue twisting, which you so flawlessly blended yours in with his original quote, that it was just like, I'm in awe. And I think I touched on it earlier, how you just managed to put in the words and on top of the words, the twists and the turns, and you play with our emotions because the voice and the music is
lulling us into this false sense of lullaby, and then somebody poops. So it's just like it's always a gift. It's always a gift to listen to you, Reed. Thank you so much.
Like it's kind of like a super full of shit kind of thing is what I meant.
kind of like that, right?
Yeah.
Really, really cool. Heather, what'd you think?
And I was laughing by the time we got to bringing baby bills. And everything after that just was a quick smile on my face when here to read it. It sounded like a parody of some classical poem, just in the way you kept it straight. Nothing that you needed to laugh. I'm going to try to say that, but I'll tell you what, I had a smile on my face at the end of the second all the way to the end.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, and where's the peas? Popsicle, yeah, the pooping. Popsicle people poop. Punch the pavement. Packing prayers. Pewter ways. I love that. That's almost abusing the words. Very good.
Great comment, Heather. And Crystal, what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think that it went very interesting in some ways. But as someone that really, really likes alliteration, I really enjoyed that here, like with the lavender lights and the honeydew headlines, and heck, I'll even go with the popsicle people that pooped. But like, I liked all of the alliteration and everything, and just kind of the way it sounded. And then the mix, so the music was like very soothing, and you're kind of just in the moment, but then when you're actually like reading the lines and stuff, it's kind of completely a little different. But great job, Wayne.
Thank you a lot, dude. Just hope.
It needs to be sung. Like Lily Pucius. The Munchkins.
And Linda, please.
Sweet.
Linda?
Oh, yeah. Wayne, you're back. I've missed your alliteration. You do that so well. And when you read it so serious that it's just hilarious putting the two together. But you're beautiful. This is very cute. I really liked it. So thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Fantastic comment. Yeah, somebody pooped in your palm.
Yeah.
David, while I grab yours, will you come to Wayne, please?
Yeah, this was pretty cool, Wayne. I liked it. I thought it was fun. Lavender lights lit the lane where the lonely ladies lost the lily love of life. Burnt bridges brought the bubbly bottle only, bringing babies, bills, and stripes. That's just good. Yeah, it's
we'll burn your bridges.
It's a masterpiece is what it is, I think, you know. I had to agree with everything what Deborah Lee had to say about it, you know. Dark denim days dotted the dimples of dead daughters, dehydrated diamond dreams. Walnut willows weep when wrinkled whiskey worn woman breath behind the wheel. That's great. That's great. I love that. Good job, Wayne. Good job, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's a wabbit. Wabbit.
Great giggles. Okay. Yours should be on the board, David, if you want to show us what you got.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I was muted. This is called The Lost Epistles to the Eagles. And I chose quote number 6 from Gerald. Eager feet propel me down a trail, claiming the woods as mine for a moment, itching to move into its magical depths by Gerald Green. My dog and I came upon a wandering, winding road into the heart of the autumn woods, their valleys unto it flowed. My curious dog and I did follow this winding road. We came into a hollow from the bottom straight up. It flowed in glistening obsidian 2,000 feet and round about all of this. Circle of a lone eagle, he seemed to be searching. For he called out over and over, anguish woven into his ululations. Even I could hear it in his call, soaring against backdrops of colors, vine maples, candy corn punctuation of all of those hills and valleys. There lay the skeletal remnants in several heaps upon the roundabout, for it was more than one bird would make. And I was struck with the realization that there was once families of birds flourishing on this mountaintop. I saw under an overhanging rock what seemed to be a door, so my dog and I went over to it, and we pushed it open. I saw a skeleton of an old man sitting in a chair of petrified wood in front of a desk, which still held pen and parchment. I could not guess its age. There were letters written in strange hand that I did not understand. So I removed one of the letters from its ancient envelopes of sorts. When the daylight struck the letters, they glowed in purples and crimsons, and I could read them. They were epistles to the eagles above the dark mother. Above, the dark mother whispered to me, "Read these sad words to me. They break my heart." So I read them unto the dark mother and my dog. The old man was a friend of the eagles. They did sit upon his front yard. In the days, he communed with them all. Families of these birds he did feed them all for them, all that he could spare. They loved him for it. Men came with mechanical saws. They cut down the big trees the nests were in, and they did shoot the birds one by one. His mate was lost this way. Still he searches for her unto this very day. End poem.
Oh. Wow. The ending got me there. His mate was lost this way. Still, he searches for her unto this very day. It reminds me of the egret couple that lived around here, and the one got hit by a truck, and the other one kept going to the spot until there was nothing left to go to. So that overwhelming sadness struck there. Towards the middle, where is she? So I read them unto the dark mother and my dog. The old man was a friend of the eagles. They did sit upon his front yard. In the days he communed with them all, families of these birds, he did feed them, and he could spare. They loved him for it. I love the way that feels, that the sense of this person and nature entwined. Back towards the beginning, my curious dog and I did follow on the winding road, and we came into a hollow from the bottom. Straight up it flowed in glistening obsidian in 2,000 feet and round about all this circle of a lone eagle. He seemed to be searching. The details from beginning to end pull us in, and we can't wait to find out what happens. And it was just like, again, and I'll say it, the part where he said, and they, or you read, they loved him for it, was beautiful. And then the sadness there in the end, it was a great story poem, Dave, with amazing descriptions and an awesome tribute to the art and the words that you chose. Fantastic job. Let me give you some comments. My pleasure. Hatter, what you think?
Unmuted. I'm following when you're reading, and I got lost, and I'm trying to pick it back up. Basically, and sorry for that car noise. my curious dog, and I didn't follow. I'm trying to figure out the skeleton. That was who was that? try to find it.
Well, that was the old man that was writing the letters to the Eagles.
Okay, right. Okay, got it. Yeah, that's a sad visual. The whole thing. It had tragic and tragedy to it. Great storyline. And Dark Mother got in there too, huh?
Yeah, she always does.
It's got the storyline of fables like have you ever told about the Indian deer crossing?
Mm-mm.
We were little kids, but we'd gone across the sign on the highway, you know, yellow sign, deer crossing. I mean, beware.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My dad would make up the story of the Indian called deer crossing.
Cool.
Yeah, good for you.
Cool comment, Hatter. And Crystal?
Yeah, you always write really good stories. And even when you read them and stuff, like, I don't know what it was, especially this time. I just kind of was, like, leaning back and just listened to you read. And there was just something, like, I don't know, I guess, like, nicer about it. But, yeah, I really enjoyed, like, just hearing you read and everything. And then I also thought that this was kind of really creative, too. Like, I always notice that when you write very creative stories, but this just seemed a little bit different than usual. And I really liked that. I think you did a great job.
Well, thanks,
awesome.
Chrissy.
Awesome comment. And Mr. Wayne Jenk?
Yeah, this is a great, great story. You read like a tribal Indian chief would be standing by a campfire talking to his people. You wouldn't believe what maggots can do to an apple. You know, I hate being a maggot. But, you know, we keep destroying this country and kill animals running off, and we've got to do something about it someday, but I don't know if we ever will. Great environmental poem.
Thanks, awesome Wayne.
Comment, Wayne. And Linda?
Yeah, David. You have written a great story here. It's very creative and just full of visual that is awesome, but it's also full of emotions. At about halfway through, it starts getting emotional, and then with the old man in the chair and your dog that you're reading letters to, and the Dark Mother comes in. But you have so much feeling in this that it makes it relatable and real. And we know that it's possible. I don't know about a door in the side of a rock on the top of a mountain, but that could happen. But yeah, you put this together quite well, so thank you for sharing it.
Oh, thanks, Linda.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And mine is on the board. If you would click on that, please.
Uh-oh.
Do you see it?
Not yet. I got to refresh.
Yeah, I got it.
Time.
Got it.
Okay, and I'm not going to read the quote that is from Gerald, because my second and my last stanza are his quote. I incorporated them. My poem is called Meet the Freshman Cub and Future King. Here we go. Jungle King Dad sits with his cub. Dad schools him as Mom hunts. On hilltop grasses, breezes blow, the little fella grunts. The freshman breeze, cool country air, his roots before his eyes, the wrinkled road and rocky land beneath mosaic skies. That rolling cloud still up the sky, now white, blocks out the blue, rotating by the topaz sun to shadow the sky hue. As Mom's hunt yields warm bloody meat, Dad's mane blows from the wind. This one day king pictures his mane, then this freshman prince grins.
the freshman breeze, cool country air, his roots before his eyes, the wrinkled road and rocky land beneath mosaic skies. End poem.
Mm. Wow. Wow. That's really good, Deb.
This is like really a winter pinout, like a winter pinout poem. This is real good. Mm. Dave, what did you think, Dave?
Oh, man. This was one of your best ones that I've read so far, Deborah. And it was nice to hear you rhyme it, you know, and done so well. You know, I just, I like the where you took the characters of the male lion and the cub. That was really cool. You know, they're always talking about the lioness and her cubs and stuff, you know, but, you know, you don't hear too much about the males of the pride, you know, and this was really interesting. You know, it's just outstanding. I was really taken with this. It just, and you did such a fine job of reading it too. It just, God, you could put me to sleep. And I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way either. You have a real soothing timbre to your voice. You know, I like that. You know, and the way it was reading, it was so smooth and polished. And God, I just, wow. You swooned me. You know. Well done.
Thank you so much.
Nice backpedal.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I tried to jump in on his 8-6-8-6 flow he had going there, and there was just something about that was the first one I found when I went searching for pieces to use, and it wouldn't let me go. There was something about it. And then, you know, the king of the jungle, for sure, he just gets to lay there and chill, and the women hunt. And then when they got the stuff ready, they go and eat. Well, it just looked like the new king of the jungle in training there. And then I was like, oh, he's the freshman. So it just, but yeah, it was a beautiful, beautiful piece of a poem to be inspired by. So what he set there set the tone and the flow, and I just jumped on it. But thanks so much. Now, Hatter, yours is on the board. You want to show us what you brought?
I get to come in.
I tried. Please do, Wayne.
Okay. Yeah, I said this is a great description to the picture, and that's the best picture I've ever saw of a lion, to be honest with you, with the little cub, little prince. Your words are outstanding. I was in heaven watching it with the picture, and everything. I reached over to grab my beer, knocked it over on all my paperwork. So I'd be cleaning it up. This is wonderful. I like the picture, and I like the poem a lot. I'm going to paint that picture, in fact. I love it.
Wow. Thank you so much, Wayne. Somebody else said something.
Yeah, I didn't
Linda.
Comment yet. But
please,
I would like to. This is sweet. Jungle King Dad sits with his cub. Dad schools him as mom hunts. On hilltop grass as breezes blow, the little fella grunts. That is so adorable. With the picture, it is so perfect. You really brought the picture to life with your words, Deb. This was very sweet and had a lot of feeling in it. And a lot of truth too. I think it was a really great poem, Deb, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you for sharing.
Deb, you there?
Thank you so much, Linda. Appreciate it. And did we get Crystal?
Yeah, Crystal Hope.
I'm here.
Yeah, I really like what you did with it and everything, like the imagery and stuff. I think what I really liked the most is I did like the, like, imagery of the lions and everything, but I loved how you, what you talked about, like, mosaic skies and the topaz sun, like, that to me, I don't know, that kind of, like, stood out to me. But yeah, I like what you, that you brought up and stuff like that. I guess I sit there and I guess I think of, like, the male lions. I'm sitting there thinking of the Lion King and just thinking of Simba. I don't know. That came to my head. But, yeah, I think you did a great job.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it very much, everyone. Now, Hatter, click on yours and read for us, please. And then that will leave us Crystal, Angel, Soul, and a recording by Gerald.
Okay. Oh, I thought this was the last one. I'm sorry. I thought I was going last.
No, I thought, that's what I thought. I thought you wanted to read before but you put your palm on the board,
sorry.
So I thought.
Well,
to
I thought
it
was
right?
last. My bad.
Okay, I'm moving it. It's okay. It's okay. I'm moving it back to last. And Crystals, I just put those on. Just hit Crystals at the top of that list there, and we'll do yours right before Gerald Pattern. Crystal, please.
Thanks.
All right. I got to refresh. All right. This is called Ivory Pebbles Splashing on Light Towers. Ivory pebbles bubble up like detergent soap in a sink. Salty breezes brush cold kisses on a cheek of a butterfly's wink. Morning honeydew gleams on the lashes of cobalt eyes. Scarlet swirls play in the clouds, dancing in candy cane skies. Emerald ridges mold like clay, folding to whispers of silent waves. Splashes of periwinkle pirouettes echoing into holes of charcoal caves. Silent shimmers on windows, submarined around rippled walls. Rugged stairs twirl around the rails, reflecting mirrors onto waterfalls. Nightfall streams on beamed towers, washing ivory pebbles on light showers. End poem.
Gorgeous. And you know, of course, I love the splashes of periwinkle pirouettes echoing into the holes of charcoal caves. But the periwinkle pirouettes, what a great, great, great sound that has, and the visual, too. And rugged stairs twirl around the rails, reflecting mirrors onto waterfalls. Nightfall streams on beamed towers, washing ivory pebbles on light showers. The images through here are absolutely gorgeous, Crystal. Every bit as stunning as the art that you wrote to. I mean, from the very first line, ivy pebbles bubble up, all the way down to those, again, those ivy pebbles in the showers. I mean, it's just really gorgeous, pulling it down from the title all the way throughout to the end. But yeah, I mean, it's gorgeous all the way through, but the closing couplet, nightfall streams on beamed towers washing ivory pebbles on light showers. So you got like the rhyme and the flow and the beautiful images. It's a really, really pretty write to the art, to the quote, and on its own beautiful share. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, this is a hallmark. Very well done. So smooth. And it needs to be on a calendar with that same picture and pick a month. We should do that. Or would that be too selective? Calendar.
Good idea. Great comment. Wayne?
Yes. This is so lovely, and your descriptions and voice are so dreamlike. A great flow and rhyme. And the view is like I was laying on a cloud looking down at it and wishing you were with me. Great job.
Thanks, Wayne.
Awesome comment, Wayne. And David?
Oh, this was great, Chrissy. I really liked this. Ivory pebbles bubble up like detergent soap in a sink. We all know what that looks like. Salty breeze brushed cold kisses on the cheek of a butterfly's wing. Wow. This is just really something. Morning honeydew gleams on the lashes of cobalt eyes. Scarlet swirls play in the clouds, dancing in cotton candy skies. Man, you just really outdid yourself on this thing. I really like this. Every one of these stanzas is just kick ass. I mean, it's really good. Really good. Nice job, Chrissy. Nice job.
Thanks. Thanks, Dave.
Awesome comment. And then, Linda, I was hoping that you would comment for Crystal and then read Angel's poem for us.
Sure. Crystal, this is a stunning piece. The imagery is most lovely and brings the picture to life. It kind of animates it, if you get what I mean. It pops it out, and your descriptions in here are just out of this world. Very lovely, lovely piece. Thank you for sharing it.
Thanks, Linda.
You're welcome.
And I'm sliding Angels down right now, so take us away, please.
This piece is called Evergreen by Heavenly Angel. Eager feet propel me down a trail to the old farmhouse nestled amongst eggplant hills and emerald green grass. My grandfather built this house with his own hands, a wedding gift to his young bride. Crisp air seeps through the weathered lumber, finding respite near the kitchen stove where my sweatered grandmother used to stand, preparing meals for her growing family. I can almost smell the aroma of a Sunday roast or the sweet cinnamon scent of an apple pie being prepared when morning chores were finished. Itching to move into its magical depth, I wander outside to the shade trees surrounding my family's home, claiming the woods as my promise that just as the trees, my memories of home will be evergreen in peace. Wow.
Great read. Thank you. You know, she grabbed me right in the lines. My grandfather built this house with his own hands, a wedding gift to his young bride. How beautiful is the sentiment there and the thought of him building that place for her. Crisp air seeps through weathered lumber, finding respite near the kitchen stove where my sweatered grandmother used to stand, incorporating the piece from Gerald there, and it just flowed flawlessly, and it fit with the story. I can almost smell the aroma of a Sunday roast or the sweet cinnamon scent of apple pie being prepared. And, my mouth's watering. My mom used to make apple pie, and nobody's been able to make it like her since, and it brought me there. I could almost even smell the pie, but it was like I said, beautifully blended with the original quote, where it just felt like one complete story, one complete thought. Fabulous share, great for the a great tribute to the art, to the original quote, and a stunning piece on its own. Thank you so much, Angel. And you read, Linda. What did you think of the poem?
I thought it was like, wow. It touched my heart because it reminded me of my grandmother's cabin that my father built with his own hands for her, and we all lived there. But it was beautiful, and this just has such a homey, loving feeling to it, with great descriptive words and just lovely lines that just touched my heart. I really liked it. Thank you for sharing it, Angel.
awesome comment, and thank you again for reading. Wayne, what did you think?
Well, I think it, Heavenly would be perfect living in that picture. She said well, she'd be perfect for that type of a picture, and her portrait is as lovely as the painting is, and just amazing. And I like the line where it says, I can almost smell the aroma of a sunny roast or a sweet cinnamon scent of an apple pie being prepared when morning chores were finished. It's just, that's Heavenly to me in my eyes. Jeez, this is a lovely poem. I like it all the way through. Great job.
Great comment. And David?
Well, I have to reiterate what some other folks said about this. It reminded me of my grandparents a lot. My grandmother used to cook on a wood stove. She cooked everything on a wood stove. They heated the entire house with this wood stove. It was going 24/7, I think. I don't know. They must have got out of bed to go feed it. Anyhow, this was really, really well written. I think Angel worked on it pretty hard to get that atmosphere that it has into it. You know, I don't think there's anything that smells much better than apple pie when it's baking. Oh, man. Or Sunday roast, for that matter. Both of them are good. So, yeah, good. Angel really, really did a good one on this one. It's very descriptive. Well done.
Awesome comment, David and Wayne.
I commented just a second ago.
Sorry about that. Hatter, did you get the comment?
No.
Please do.
Okay. Yeah, it brought back the smells of the family farm. The smells, the different, what each place on the farm felt like, the shop, and it was different than the boathouse and the barn. On the farm, the sunrise and sunset, they have total different meaning. The day is looked at differently on a ranch or a farm. And brought that on. I love the way he said, my grandfather built this house for his own, with his own hands, a wedding gift to his young bride. When a guy promises the lady the moon, that's what it looks like right there.
Wow, what a comment. Great comment, Hatter. Okay, you guys, so here's where we're at. We have Laughing Soul's poem, we have Hatter's poem, and then a message from Gerald. So if you guys click on Laughing Soul's poem, I will push her recording, and we can listen to her lovely voice read for us.
Journey to the Stars, a poem by Laughing Soul. On a camelback, I ventured deep into the heart of stars, a forest of crimson flames where Crescent played a guitar. The silence whispered a song to me, a song of dreams, a song so serene. Aglow with a champagne light, night becalmed my scars. The camel stopped by a little blaze, for night was lone and cold. A stream murmured love notes of ours, where cashmere shadows corset my benumbed soul. The night was magical, the woods were high, intoxicated by darkness belied. But the hourglass still did hold some sand. I had a purpose to fulfill on land. And in stillness of the flaming stars, I had found what sought my bleeding heart. So on the camel back, I retreat to my abode back. Amidst the serenity of the forest deep, I did leave a part of me for the scarlet stars to keep, for the scarlet stars to keep. End poem.
Wow. you could feel a softness, a soothingness in her words, and especially with the repeat at the end there for the Scarlet Stars to keep the repeat was like almost a hauntingness to it. The camel stopped by a little blaze, for night was lone and cold. A stream murmured love notes of ours, where cashmere shadows corset. My benumbered soul. It's like, wow. And the stillness of the flaming stars, I found what sought my bleeding heart. So on the camel back, I retreated to my abode back. It's just the like, again, I say that softness set the mood. And you were saying earlier about being lulled to sleep. Could you imagine getting to hear a bedtime story with soul reading? It would be like, I don't know if you'd make it through the whole story, because there's such a tranquilness that it's like a all natural, no chemicals included sleeping pill. Beautiful piece and great recording. Thank you so much. Let me get you some comments for your beautiful work. Linda, would you like to go first?
Yes, I would. That's my soul, and she has done it again. Just a beautiful, beautiful piece. And her reading of it, of all of her poetry, is so hauntingly beautiful. It just makes the poem so much cooler by the way she reads. And this one, there's just so many beautiful lines in it. I just don't even know where to start. A song of dreams, a song so serene, a glow with champagne light, night become my scars. I just love it. The night was magical, the woods were high, intoxicated by darkness belight, but the hourglass still did hold some sand. I had a purpose to fulfill on land. She has a masterful way of being a poetic, just a genius in all ways. Her work is so lovely. Thank you, Sol, for sharing this piece.
Please comment. And David?
I'll pass.
And Wayne, please.
Yes. I said, thank you, God. Just what I need to hear before I go to sleep tonight. Your words are so intoxicating. After writing this, you have completed a reason to exist. Please don't let the poem stop. Oh, no, the poem's over. I'm going to replay it in the dark. I won't be able to read the love notes, but I do love you. Thanks. Wow.
Oh, very sweet. And Hatter, will you comment for Soul and then read us your poem?
Okay, yeah, she could whisper in my ear anytime, and I wouldn't last very long at all. She's got some great lines.
I hear that.
Calming my scars, cashmere shadows. I'm a shadow guy. I think shadows in about 90% of all my poems. I never thought of cashmere shadows. Yeah, very good. I was wondering if the camel, riding the camel's back, is it just more commonly said, like we would say horseback, or is it more symbolistic meaning in it? Well done. Thank you.
Not sure, but great comment. And your poem is on the board, so show us what you got, and then we will give you some comments.
Okay, I this is a tribute to Gerald Green, the man. Called I Jerry Rigged the Thing. Today I might have gone insane playing a very Jerry name game. Jerry Rice and Jerry Jones and Jerry Moon Pie Brown, Jerry Falwell, Jerry Hall, and any drones hanging around. Jerry Connell, Jerry Van Dyke, and Jerry Garcia, Jerry Stiller, Gerald Ford, and even Geraldo Rivera. Jerry Lewis, Jerry Seinfeld, Jerry Beaver Mathers, Jerry Springer, Jerry West, and Jay, the angry poet Hatter. Ben and Jerry, Tom and Jerry, and have a very Jerry time eating all the Jerry pies and drinking the Jerry wine. I report for Jerry duty tomorrow until sometime in the spring. I think I'll try to find a way to Jerry rig the thing. It's never Jerry. It's never Jerry rigged.
This is too cool, the angry poet Hatter. I was laughing. At first, I'm thinking, wow, you don't think about how many cherries there are until you started reading your poem. I got a kick out of this, but I bet you Gerald will too. I report for Jerry duty tomorrow until sometime in the spring. I think I'll try to find a way, a Jerry ring it thing. You're crazy, but this was a great giggle and a fun poem to. We were all calm and ready to go to sleep from the tranquil read that we just got from Laughing Soul, and then one sibling got you to calm down, and then the other sibling riled you right back up again, and it's like that's what you just did, Hatter. But this is really, really cool. Such a fun share. I totally agree. Wayne, what did you think?
This is funny as hell, Jerry. I laughed all the way through this and have a Jerry Christmas. Great job, man. I thought it was funny as hell.
Yeah.
That was a good one. I like the little ad one there, Jerry Christmas. Linda, what you think?
Yeah, I thought it was quite cute because my husband's name is Jerry, and we tease him all the time about Jerry Regan stuff. So I kind of had a personal feeling towards this poem. But I loved how you rhymed the Jerrys, and just really cool. The flow is really well, and your cadence was spot on. So thank you for sharing it, Hatter.
Thanks. Yeah, that's about it. That's about all of them. And you know who Jerry Moon Pie Brown is, right?
Jerry Brown. I don't know. Should I?
He's the governor. Twice governor of California, and he dated Linda Ronstadt in the 60s and 70s.
Is that your picture?
Yeah, that's me.
You're still a hippie. You're looking good, man. What are you, 65?
Hippie.
Looking good. I hear that. Great picture. Great point.
Thank you. Yeah, throw my head to the kids.
Did I let David, did everybody comment? David, did you comment?
No.
Thank you.
I like this one. The Jerrys that I recognize here is Jerry Moon Pie Brown, Jerry Falwell, Jerry Garcia, of course, and Ben and Jerry, Tom and Jerry.
Jerry Jones. He owned the Cowboys, Jerry Jones. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah, I remember. Linda Ronstadt got a lot of mileage off of dating Jerry Brown, I think, and vice versa, maybe. I don't know. I remember that vividly. You know, Jerry Garcia was always one of my favorite guitar players. I always liked him. He's a cool guy, very cool guy. Some of the rest of the Jerrys here, I can't say that about, but it was a good poem. It was really ingenious. I like the way you did this. Good job, Hatter.
Thanks. That's fun. That was fun.
Great comment. I think that you probably could have went on and on and on the more you thought about Jerrys, but it was such a clever idea. You know, he'll actually get a quick kick out of it. Now, before I say my piece and play us the poem or the recording from Gerald, I just want to shout a reminder that tomorrow is Open Darkness with Sweet Pea. So she said she's calling it Black Friday, but it's just Open Darkness. And
not the light. Not the light.
And then the party's over at A Poetic Slice on Wednesday night for Thanksgiving Eve. And then on Thanksgiving night, Hatter and Raconteur are going to sit down and they're going to discuss the Moody Blues. And they're also going to discuss various albums that were released for Christmas. And on Friday is The Man Cave with Hatter and Steven. And they have great conversation and a fun time once a month on the last Friday of every month. And then on Saturday, you can hang out. And the topic, I cannot remember. How about that? Hatter, what's your topic? Do you remember?
I knew you were going to ask me. I said it was going to be some kind of people. What is it?
I found it. Actually, it's TV. Television.
TV.
Yeah, TV.
I knew that.
So, yeah. So wherever that takes us, and then brings us back to my show on Monday, and I've got some really, really cool black and white art for everyone to choose from. So that's where that is for right now. And I want to say thank you to my amazing board members, Hatter and Sweet Pea and AP Taylor. You are awesome. I love running these shows with you guys. And I want to say thank you to Wayne and Kay and Steven and Sky and Titus and Laughing Soul and Heavenly Angel and Xylophonic Blue and David Prophet and Liquid Damage Linda. I appreciate you all very much. Which
all the Jerrys in the world.
Yep, and all the Jerrys in the world, leading us to Mr. Gerald E. Green, who I hope will be incredibly as impressed as I was over the amazing poems that were sparked by 10 pieces of his poetry. It's always amazing to see where people take your words, and everybody tonight outdid themselves, but you do every week. And Gerald, impressive lines to start us off with. And now I have the recording that you sent in that we are going to play rather than an exit song. So here comes a message from none other than Gerald Green. Here we go.
Thank you, allpoetry.com. Written and read by Gerald Green. The honor given by your poems, too surreal to be believed, from talent so widespread and varied, can't be measured when received. To think those quotes might be repeated, simple thoughts compiled by me, generating works of others, organized by Deborah Lee. But all my poetry is prompted by a contest or request. Every day a sterling challenge makes me write, won't let me rest. I love all poetry, give it praise. It makes us better with each rite, stirring pots and raising questions, cloaking wisdom with insight. Poem.
Oh, wow. Wasn't it cool how he started and ended it with the music from the words you cannot say, Hatter?
Yeah, that was good. I liked it. Cool.
That was so awesome. And what a sweet message. Thank you, Gerald. And I hope that you are as impressed as I am by all the poems that were inspired by your words. And I'm anxious to see what you thought of all the fuss we made over you tonight. You guys, you never cease to amaze me. I appreciate you all very, very much. And I will see you tomorrow at Sweet Show. Thank you, Wayne.
Oh,
great
girl.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Are we going to talk?
Yeah, you know what I'll do? I will put the word you cannot say on, and I'll pull you into the green room real quick. Because now that Gerald closed his poem with that, we need to hear the rest of the song. But thank you, Gerald. Thank you, everyone. Here comes the word you cannot say.
Yeah, Grass, if you're out there, copy that. Thanks.
I woke up from a memory, still lying here next to you, watching you as you're dreaming. The dreams I thought I knew, your smile shows the reason. I watched it all come true, your touch is cold and dear.
It is, yeah. Thank you, Hatter. Thank you, Gerald.
Thank you, Deb.
Green. Night.
Night.